Welcome to our podcast from St. George in the Pines. Today, we're starting a series about generosity, beginning with finances. We're calling it A Generous Life, The Beauty of Giving, and we'll be looking at how opening up our hands and hearts can change us in surprising ways. So grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and let's explore what generosity might look like in our lives. The first reading is a reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. Beginning at the 17th verse. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And then they accompanied him to the ship. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hands up if you love talking about money in church.
Hands up.
No one's putting their hand. Yeah. Fair enough. I don't even know that I do, to be honest with you. So why do it? You know, if we want to understand God's heart for us as a people, if you want to understand God's heart for you individually, all of our lives are meant to be brought to God, and God's light is meant to shine in all parts of our lives, which means that there's no part of our life that we can compartmentalize or cordon off from God. All of it must be brought to God, to his love, to his light, to his truth. And money is no different. Now, I've been in church life long enough, and you don't have to be in church to have a kind of a common wisdom that says that, you know, in polite society, we don't talk about money, we don't talk about politics, we don't talk about religion, right? Also often great advice for first dates, right? We don't talk about those things. And I think we kind of sort of take in that conventional wisdom and we sort of make it gospel. We make it God's truth. We can talk about anything except not money. What's noticeable is that when you read the stories of Jesus, when you see Jesus on the earth 2,000 years ago, preaching and teaching, if you were to canvas the words and sort of understand what were his main talking points, you would organize it. Number one thing that Jesus talked about was the kingdom of God. All right, not a surprise. But secondly, you might think, well, it must be faith and repentance, or it must be love or something else. Actually, he put it all together, what Jesus taught about. After the kingdom of God, Jesus talks about money. It's actually a very big thing that he spends his time talking about. The question really has to be, well, why? Why does he talk about that? Jesus understood that what we think about money, what we think about giving, will reveal, should reveal to yourself, where your heart is in relationship to God. That's why it matters. Jesus was not, if you read his stories, he wasn't interested in making money. He wasn't interested in investments and doubling, tripling, you know, his money. He was interested in our hearts and the relationship to God. And the quickest way you can find that out with someone, with anybody, any human, is what they think about giving, what they think about money. That's why it matters. That's what we have to talk about. That's what he talked about. That's what we were spending time talking about it. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about, the theme will be generosity. What does it mean to be generous? What does it actually mean? We just started hitting the head why it matters. It at least matters because Jesus talked about it, so we should talk about it. And it matters because it reveals your heart. But then the next question should be, well, if it matters, what is generosity really? That's a natural question. And so today we have as our reading a passage near the end of the book of Acts, which to some might be an odd Bible selection to talk about giving and generosity. And to give some context, in that chapter, Acts chapter 20 that we heard earlier, Paul is about to head off. St. Paul, who's been spending a big chunk of his life after coming to Jesus, going around the known world, spreading the message, the gospel of Jesus, starting up home churches. Gone through much turmoil, affliction, persecution, but he's been persisting, sharing about Jesus everywhere he can get himself to. And he's in Ephesus right now, an ancient city where there's a church community there. And interestingly, in chapter 20 of Acts, that's the only section of Acts that Paul addresses completely a Christian audience. There's Christian leaders in the church of Ephesus. And he's giving them what essentially turns out might be his last words to them. You notice they were weeping. He was heading off to Jerusalem, which is basically a death sentence. And so he's giving his final address to this early church, these Christians. Now, I want you to think for a second, what would you be saying to some of your closest friends if you knew you were about to die? Now, that's a sobering question. What would any of us say? That's a good thing to keep in mind, because if you're thinking, what would I say? Notice that that's what Paul is doing. And he's ending that little speech, all the tears, all the weepings. He's sharing his life, what he's dedicated himself to. He says, you know, as Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. You know, one of the lasting things he says before he's going to die is, hey, by the way, you should be generous with your life. Now, it's very common, especially in Anglican circles that we run, that when we talk about generosity, we often say, well, let's not talk about money. It's not just money. It's volunteering and spending time. Isn't that also part of generosity? And off the bat, I'm going to say, yes, of course. Spending time volunteering, helping people in need, that is excellent. I only want to encourage that. And yet, for the next 4 weeks, we're not really going to be focusing too much on that part. We're going to talk about money precisely because often I hear people bring up they're volunteering as a way to shush a conversation about money, which actually reveals where their heart actually is. They don't want to talk about it because money has a hold on their heart. Whereas Paul is saying, it is better to give than receive. My whole life, if you read that whole section, is basically my whole life has been modeling my life after Jesus. In fact, the key verse in that Acts reading that I want us to focus on is verse 24, Acts 20:24, when he essentially says, I count my life as basically nothing. I don't want to count it as precious, except that I live out the life that Lord Jesus has given me. My life doesn't count as for nothing, except that I'm sharing the gospel of Jesus, that I'm living the life that Jesus wants me to live. And Jesus says to us, don't put your heart in treasures that moth can eat and rust destroy. Don't love things But treasure, put your heart on things that are eternal. What did Jesus say? Whatever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Paul understood that. Paul understood that to follow God, to follow Jesus, meant to live a life shaped by the life of Jesus, what Jesus was all about. And Jesus talks about money all the time. I mean, they're easy to quote. Jesus says, in a seminal passage, he says, you can't have two masters. You will either serve God and you're going to serve money. You can't serve both. Of all the things that he could have said there, God or this. In fact, if you canvass social media or the culture at large and what Christians are often talking about, whether it be human sexuality or some kind of American politics, you think those are the main things that Jesus was caring about. But Jesus made it very clear, you either follow God or money. And yet Jesus shows us what matters. The Bible says that Philippians chapter 4, that Jesus being God himself, having all the glory, having everything, he empties himself. And he takes the form of a slave. He comes in as one of us. And he gives his life. He humbles himself, even to death on the cross. And he gives himself completely. He pours himself generously, completely for us. That's the shape of generosity. Complete self-pouring for the other. Now that's worth pondering. Generosity is sacrificial, complete pouring for the other. Now, if I went out there, well, no one's out there, everyone's sleeping Saturday off. But in a couple hours, if I went out there and I started talking to people and asking folks, just general folks in Banff, well, what's generosity? The general shape that you get out in the world at large, generosity is, well, you have your money, you have whatever money you make, you worked hard for it, and you're a good person. So if you have a surplus, well, you grab your surplus and you generously sprinkle it, you know, wherever you feel you want to give, and you're a good person. So, but your money's yours. You worked hard for it. It's yours. So you sprinkle the extra. And if you feel like you want to take a vacation, instead of being generous, sprinkling it, you could also just, you know, self-care, put in some savings and just let it sit, and you're a good person. So that's the cultural version of generosity. Noticeably, that has nothing to do and connects not at all with the generosity that we see Jesus talking about, and that Paul, seeing Jesus, lives out. For a Christian, generosity is not taking your surplus and then sprinkling it as you see fit. Oh, I'm a good person, so I'm deciding to give a little bit to the YWCA, just a little bit. But I'm keeping my lifestyle not being impinged on. Nothing's changing my life. I still got my vacations lined up. That's just not it. True generosity is, like Paul does, looks at the shape of the life of Jesus and says, given that Jesus, being God, gave up everything to love us, how do I live that life? How do I live my life in the light of that reality? That's the question. Now think about this, because as Christians, I'm talking to Christians really at this point, as Christians we'll say things like, I follow Jesus. We might even get really like, hallelujah, Jesus is Lord, I follow him. And we proclaim that. And then we'll go ahead and say, well, I'll still decide how my finances are run. And no one's going to speak to that. And you can talk about anything else you want, God. I love talking hearing about spirituality and feeling cozy and you love me and I'm safe with you. Don't talk about money to me. I don't want to hear that. Think about that. I'm married. Most of you guys know my wife. She's wonderful. Imagine that when I was marrying her, I went up to her. She's like, yeah, I'd love to marry you. You want to marry me? Wonderful. This is a great plan. So you can talk to me about the shoes that I wear. You can have opinions about that. You can talk about how we arrange the furniture in the house. Do not talk to me about how I interact and am intimate with other women. You can't talk to me about that. That's not going to be a conversation. What do you think she would have said to me? She would have said, well, Seth, that's very interesting. It sounds like with your mouth, you want to call me your wife, but with your life, you don't want to do that. So respectfully, we're not, bye and I'll be gone. Right? Okay. So if we understand that on a relational level, even as humans, then when we think of the Holy God, why do we feel comfortable saying to God, you can talk to me about spiritual fuzzies, but don't you dare talk to me about how I spend my money. Where does that get off? It's weird, right? The words of Isaiah start ringing there. You worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. What Jesus is sharing, what Paul understood, is that when you receive the love of God, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, and you're living his life, that will be revealed in your life in many ways. One of the key ways that reveals your heart, that Jesus is in it, is that you're generous in the way of Jesus. It means that everything, the way you spend your time, the way that you live your life, of course, the vacations you take, all of that is shaped in the life of Jesus. And that includes especially your finances, how you give. Interestingly, if you want the life of Jesus to come into your life and shape it and transform it into something beautiful, we've talked about it before, God is not a bully. God won't come to you and kick the door down of your life and force you to follow him. He won't. He will come into your life if you're invited, if he's invited. And if he's genuinely invited, a life that genuinely invites Jesus is a life that is generous in the way of Jesus. Because Jesus was generous to us by coming to us and saving us. And therefore, if we accept his life, we are generous in the shape of Jesus. Does that make sense? Now, to end, noticeably, on an opening message on a four-week series on giving, I haven't mentioned tithing, I haven't mentioned offering, I haven't mentioned the Old Testament injunctions and 10%, and there's always questions about, is it actually 10%? I don't know. We have all these questions, and it feels very muddled, and then we stop there. I can't make sense of it, and I don't know what to do, and so I'm just going to live my life. And you would think, well, Seth, wouldn't you take the time and the message to talk about it? Well, maybe. Maybe I'm wrong for not doing it, but here's the thing. I have a little letter there that I've sent last week, and I compiled a little document that is very comprehensive, that does all the Bible verses and talks about 10% and giving if you're interested. And there's Hebrew letters there. I put it all together for you to read over and see what the Bible says. I stand by that. I've compiled it. I've sent it. And every week for the next 4 weeks, at least, it will be in our newsletters. And I want you to read it. If what I'm saying today coheres and makes sense to you, yeah, I want to be generous in the way of Jesus. How do I do that? I want to encourage you to look that document over. Read it. It's not too long. Just read it. I'm not asking you to commit to any kind of giving right now. I mean, if you're giving, thank you. That's wonderful. But I want you to read it. I want you to pray through it. I want you to ask yourself, God, what is your word saying to my life right now? Is my life such that I say that I follow you, but functionally, practically, and therefore truthfully, I am actually not? Does the way I use my money reveal that I'm not trusting you, that you're not actually the Lord of my life? That's an important question. So I want to leave you with this, because there's hope here. It doesn't feel like it. I know this. It may not feel like it, but I want us to remember something. The God that we're talking about right now, Jesus, generosity, money, all that stuff. The God that we're talking about, Jesus Christ, he's not inviting any of us to do something he hasn't done himself. Jesus understands what it's like to not have. He understands what it's like to feel short on cash. He was born in a very oppressed part of the world, in a conquered people, in a very poor family. I'm sure Jesus understood growing up what it's like not to have 3 square meals. Or when you get them, they're not ideal. He understood that. He understands our human life. He's not inviting us to do something he hasn't done himself. Jesus lived his life for you and for me. He poured out his life on the cross that we might be connected with him, with God forever. And he says to us, if you want my life to be your life, I'm right here. I will share my spirit with you. I will empower you to do the things that right now you feel are impossible. And for some of us, maybe many of us, giving is that impossible thing. Yeah, by ourselves, we're selfish and greedy. We won't do it. But with the spirit of Jesus in our lives, we will be empowered to do that which we've been created to do, which is to love the way God loves, to be generous the way God is generous, to live the life of Jesus. He will help us do that if we in good faith ask. So I invite his church. In a moment, we're going to come to the Lord's table to receive Holy Communion. I invite that holy moment as we bring our whole lives before God and that he administers his grace to us in the bread and the wine. I invite you to talk to God. In that moment, you can pray. God, shape my heart to be your heart. my life to be your life, not only for our great good, but for God's greater glory. Amen? All right, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness and your kindness. God, we thank you that though often we struggle to give to you, we struggle to give to our neighbor, God, you don't. You are so lavish and so generous. You give us of yourself, your love, your presence, your peace, and you invite us into your life. God, I pray for every person in this room. I don't know their stories. You do. God, I pray that you would do everything that each of us needs, that we would come to you in new faith, in new hope, in new trust, that our lives would be shaped by yours. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Remember, generosity isn't just about giving. It's about letting God shape our hearts to be more open and full of love. If you'd like to support what we're doing here at St. George's, you can give to our ministry by visiting our giving page, www.stgeorgesinthepines.com/give. Also, follow us on Instagram and Facebook to stay connected. And if St. George's has been a blessing to you, we'd be so grateful if you left us a Google review to share your experience. As you go through your week, look for little ways to give and spread kindness. We hope you'll be back for the next part of A Generous Life as we explore other ways to live generously. Until then, take care and enjoy finding joy in giving.